A lot of times people are looking for a new church to attend. They're looking for another church family. And that's a good thing. And on the Let the Bible Speak program this morning, I want to tell you what to look for in a church. I want to tell you some things from God's Word. We're going to look at 5 points in particular to look for in a church. So I'm glad that you've joined us. And I hope that this Bible study will be beneficial. Come visit us at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ, meeting at 290 Warfield Boulevard in Clarksville, Tennessee, 9:30 and 10:30 on Sunday morning, 6 p.m. on Sunday evening, 7 p.m. on Wednesday evening. And we have good Bible classes for all ages. It's a good time to get your children into a good Bible class. Come visit us. I believe that you will be impressed with the simple New Testament Christianity, and you will be blessed and benefited for coming together, and we would love to have you. Contact us if we can study the Bible with you. We would love to sit down in the comfort of your home or somewhere else and study God's Word. You can contact us at 931-647-1324. 931-647-1324. You can also visit us on the web at wbcoc.org. wbcoc.org. All of my sermons that I preach each Sunday at the Warfield Boulevard congregation are posted there, and you can get an idea of the kind of preaching and teaching that you would hear if you were to come, and we invite you to visit our website. What to look for in a New Testament church. You know, a lot of people are looking, and that's a good thing. Many people will relocate because of work or school, and so they're looking for a church. Sometimes they're looking just on a temporary basis. They may be on vacation. Their job may take them out of town for a few weeks, and they're looking for a church. New converts are making choices about where they want to attend on a regular basis. How does a person decide? What criteria should he or she use to look for a church? We're talking about people, of course. We're not talking about a building. A group of people who claim to serve God and Jesus Christ. What criteria? Is it some earthly criteria, material? Or is it a spiritual criteria? That's what we want to examine this morning. And we hope that our lesson will be beneficial. I want to look at 5 biblical principles. These are not the only things. These are not the only criteria to look for by any means. But it's a start. And it's a good foundation that you can use to assess and make some judgments. There are hundreds of churches in Clarksville and Montgomery County in Middle Tennessee that you have to choose from. What would be the choice that would be pleasing to God? We don't need to worship in the church of our choice. We need to worship in the church of God's choice. And so how can we find that group of people? What do we look for? Well, let's begin by looking at our first criteria, and that is that we need to look for a church where the gospel, the New Testament gospel, is simply, purely, and boldly proclaimed. Jesus came to the earth not only to die on the cross, but to preach the good news, the gospel. He sent his apostles into all the earth to preach the gospel. And that good news gospel means good news, from Matthew to Revelation, 27 books of the New Testament, that must continue to be simply, purely, and boldly proclaimed today. We need to join ourselves with other Christians who proclaim and defend all the truth. Paul, in Acts chapter 20, verse 20, and again in verse 27, said that he proclaimed the whole counsel of God. He held nothing back that was to be proclaimed. The church, 1 Timothy 3:15, is to be the pillar and the ground of the truth. That which supports, holds up the truth. We don't make the truth. We don't write the truth. It's already made. It's already been written. But we do defend it and uphold it and proclaim it and teach it and explain it and read it and study it. And so a Bible-based church. So number one, I would encourage you to look for a church where the gospel is simply, purely, and boldly proclaimed. No embarrassment about preaching the gospel. Not ashamed of preaching the gospel. Paul says and writes in Romans 1 verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel. And we are not at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. We want to simply, purely, and boldly proclaim that at each and every service. You know, there's a lot of people who are not willing to do that. Paul talks about those who preach another Jesus, 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 4. And there were those in his day who were trying to proclaim another gospel, Galatians 1, 6 through 9. They don't want the pure and simple, unadulterated New Testament gospel. And so you'll find that in a lot of different churches. They'll preach a social gospel, that which deals with things of this life, like education, voting, politics, money matters, all kinds of how-to programs, how to change the oil in your car and whatever. There's all kinds of programs that are being offered that aren't the New Testament gospel. How to fill out your taxes. It's tax season, so we'll have tax help at such and such church. These things are nothing wrong in engaging in these things, but these are not the work of the church. This is not the preaching of the church, the New Testament church. So there's people who, even in Paul's day, who were preaching another Jesus and trying to preach another gospel. And Paul says it's not really another true gospel. It's another of a different kind. And anyone who does that, Paul says, let him be accursed or let him be anathema. That's a serious thing. So just simply look for a church where the gospel is proclaimed and not changed at all. Let me encourage you, number two, to look for a church where the apostles' doctrine is observed. Not man-made doctrine, not what the pastor thinks or feels, or the reverend or the doctor or the priest or the minister or the evangelist, what they think or feel and what the board has decided and what the conference and the synod has decided. But we're simply going to follow what the New Testament apostles taught and observed. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, when the church began on the day of Pentecost for the very first time, no church before it, and any man-made churches that came along long after that, we don't need to be a part of that. We need to be a part of something that happened right on the day of Pentecost. That's when the church that Jesus said he would build, Matthew 16, 18, was first established. And the first gospel sermon, the first converts, and some 3,000 were baptized into Christ, Acts 2:41, and then in the very next verse, Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching or doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and the prayers. That's what they continued in. They didn't start with one body of teaching and then switch over to something else. We must join ourselves with other Christians who follow the New Testament pattern of the apostolic teaching. And the Lord adds to that group. Later on in verse 47, the Lord added to them daily such as should be saved. We must hold fast the pattern of sound words, 2 Timothy 1:13. And we're going to follow what the apostles taught in various aspects of our life. In our worship, we're not going to change the New Testament worship. In the work that we do, we're not going to change that. The organization of the local church, church discipline, and other kinds of things like that. We're not going to modify, revamp, reorganize, renew, change, modify, add to, take from. We're not going to do that. No latter-day revelations, new revelations, updates. We're not going to do that. Our phone might get an update. Our computer might get an update. But we're not going to update the New Testament and change it to our thinking. So we need to look for a church where they're simply following that New Testament apostolic teaching. Not everybody wants to do that today. And even in the religious world, not everybody wants to follow the pattern of God's Word. A lot of them follow the pattern of what's going on in the world around them, in current society and the other religious groups and so forth. And God's people, if we're not careful, we can do that very thing. You may recall, Israel wanted to do that. Israel wanted a king like all of the nations round about them. 1 Samuel 8 and verse 5. And they had rejected God from being their king. Give us a king like all the nations round about us. So a lot of churches are just simply doing what others around them are doing rather than the teaching of Scripture. We must not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Romans 12, 1 and 2. So let's be mindful of that very thing. When you're looking for a church, you're going to look for that which is simply the apostles' doctrine. And John writes in 2 John 9 that if we go onward, or if we transgress, or go beyond, or go onward beyond the doctrine of Christ, we do not have God. We do not have His fellowship, His approval. And that's a very important thing to think about. Don't look for the progressive church. The progressive church is the church that has gone beyond the teaching of Christ. Progress is good. Progressive is not good. Progress is simply taking the New Testament teaching, the old paths, Jeremiah 6, 13 and following. Seek the old paths, where you take the old paths, the Bible teaching, the New Testament pattern, and you adhere to it, but you're willing to adhere to it in a modern way. We might have PowerPoint, for example. We might use a digital songbook to look up on the screen and see the songs. That's progress. But progressiveness is where we are going beyond the teaching of the New Testament. Progress and progressiveness are actually two different things. So we're not going to look for a progressive church, 2 John 9, that has gone beyond the teaching of Christ. But we're going to look for that which stays within that pattern. Number three, it's good to look for a church where righteousness, peace, joy, love, and unity is practiced by all. You can have a group of people that want to follow the New Testament, but they're divided. They're unloving. They're unkind. They're not at peace. We must join ourselves with Christians who not only have the right actions, that would be what we talked about before, the New Testament pattern, but they also have the right attitudes. They're joyful. Acts 8, 40. They're loving one another. John 13, 34 through 35. They're unified. John 17, 20 through 23. There's love, joy, and peace, and righteousness. Romans 14, 17. They're bearing the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, kindness, gentleness, patience. Galatians 5, 22 through 23, faithfulness, look for a group of Christians who are like that. Nobody wants to be around unrighteousness. That would be hypocritical. Christians claiming to be righteous, but they're really not. That's hypocritical. Nobody wants to be around war. Nobody wants to be around unhappiness. Nobody wants to be around those who are unloving, those who are divided. We don't want to be around that on a week-to-week basis. That doesn't build us up. That doesn't encourage us. And so, look for a group of Christians where righteousness, peace, joy, love, and unity is practiced. Not who are living like the world and in the world. As we make our sojourn, 1 Peter 2:11 through 12, as we make our sojourn through life, we're not going to be conformed to this world. We're going to abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. We're going to stay away from worldly kinds of things. And when we come together, we're going to be encouraged by Christians who are living right. Not sinless, not perfect. When we make mistakes, when we sin, we confess that. We repent of that. We come back to God. But we're going to live righteous lives. We're going to strive to live right each and every day. So number three, look for that. Number four, when you're looking for a church, look for a church where every member is active and used. We must join ourselves with other Christians with whom we can stay active and alive. You know, physical life requires healthy eating and activity. We can't just sit around in a chair all day. Our mind goes, our body goes. We must be active. And so a good spiritual diet and a good spiritual activity is important. We must join ourselves with Christians who want to be members of a body where every joint supplies something to the unity and the work of the body, Ephesians 4, verse 16, where all Christian members, great and small, are working together in the body, 1 Corinthians 12, 13 through and following. We're not going to say certain members are not needed, certain members are not important, but we're going to have something where each and every one of us can do something, can contribute something, doing what we can. You remember the woman that anointed Jesus' feet? He said she hath done what she could. Just simply doing what we can, regardless of our age, regardless of our gender, regardless of our talents, we can all do something. And it's good for us to look for a church where the church is alive and not dead. The members are active. There's movement. If you walk up on a body and it's not moving, it might be dead. But if it's moving and active and working, if the chest is going up and down and the lungs are going up and down and there's breathing, there's life there. John talks about the church at Sardis being dead. You have a name that you're living, but you're dead, dead spiritually, Revelation 3, 1 and 2. And they were not completing their works and their activity. And so we must all stay busy. And you know what's good for you, friend? Being with a group of Christians where you're going to be encouraged to stay active and stay busy. You know, some people shy away from that. They want to come in. They want to be inactive. They don't want to be called on to do anything. They want to hide in the crowd. That actually is not good for us. What's good for us is to stay busy. Physically and spiritually, it keeps us alive. It keeps us spiritually healthy. Just like we don't need to eat bad food and then just sit around in the chair all day. That makes us unhealthy. We need to eat good spiritual food and stay spiritually active. That keeps us spiritually healthy. So, look for a church where you can be used and where you can be active. And then, number five, let me encourage you to look for a church where the truth is accepted. Let us join ourselves with other Christians who are receptive to the truth and not close-minded. We're open to the truth of the Word of God. In the book of Acts and other places in the New Testament, there were those individuals who didn't want to hear the Word of God. They stopped their ears. They didn't want to hear preaching and teaching. When Stephen was preaching in Acts chapter 7, they stopped their ears and stoned him to death. That happened on other occasions. I just don't want to listen anymore. Let's be with people who want to listen to the truth, who love it and accept it. Buy the truth and sell it not. Proverbs 23:23. Have a love for the truth. Let's join ourselves with those kind of Christians. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, he said, "Who shall put you in remembrance of my ways which are in Christ, even as I teach everywhere in every church?" Paul wanted to preach the truth in every church. And he was looking for people who wanted to accept that. When the truth is preached, as we talked about earlier, in the simple, pure, and bold way, where Christians say, "Give me the truth, regardless of what it costs." Don't whitewash it. Don't try to change it. Don't try to ignore it. Don't try to modify it. Just give us the truth, please. And that is a great group of people who want that kind of thing. Is that what you want, friend? Do you want to be where there is truth? Do you want to be where people accept the truth? And so, let's be in a group where truth is held up in high esteem. "Thy word is truth," Jesus said, speaking of his Father's word, John 17:17, "and truth sets us free," John 8:32. Free from tradition, free from sin, free from bondage, free from ignorance, free from man-made teaching, free from all kinds of things, to the pure liberty and freedom of God's truth. Let's be with people who want to accept that and be a part of it, no matter what cost is made. Well, are you looking for a church? Are you looking for a church family for you and maybe those around you? Are you looking to make that change? We at the Warfield Boulevard congregation, we try our hardest to preach the gospel simply, purely, and boldly. We try our hardest to follow the apostles' doctrine and teaching only. We try our hardest to live the righteous, peaceful, joyous, loving, and united life. We try our hardest to encourage every member to be active and used. We have elders who encourage us along those lines and plan for those things, and we are appreciative that they are making those goals and those opportunities and those challenges for us. We at the Warfield Boulevard congregation try our hardest to accept the truth, no matter what, and always keep our minds open to the truth of God's Word. You know, a lot of times people are looking for churches, and they're looking for things that are really not necessary and things that are not found in the New Testament. Sometimes, let me give you a few examples. Sometimes people look for all kinds of programs that a church might be offering classes. I told you earlier about some are now offering tax preparation classes on Tuesday night at such and such church. All kinds of social activities and various kinds of educational, societal classes. And these things are not wrong in and of themselves, but they're not a part of the New Testament church. Men and women have come up with all kinds of ingenious programs, but they're not in the New Testament church. Other people look for a certain attendance number, certain large crowds, or certain age groups that would match what they want. Others want dynamic preaching. They're looking for a particular preaching style over substance. How does the person, you know, does he walk around? Does he speak in a certain way? Is he funny? Is he entertaining? And so they're looking at style over substance. They're not looking so much at the substance of what he's actually saying, just the style in which he's saying it. What's the music like? Do they have a praise band? Do they have a praise team? These things are not in the New Testament. All Christians sang in the New Testament church. But even then, if you're looking at singing, some people say, well, you know, is it four-part harmony? Are they skilled song leaders and this and that? I believe we need to serve God to the best of our ability. And if we can be skilled in some area like song leading, I think that's great. I would encourage that. But that alone is not a criteria. Do they have a lot of young people? Can I have friends and family there? Where is the location? Is it near my home, school, or work? Is it convenient for me to drive to? What are the facilities like? Do they have a nice building? Do they have a nursery? Do they have PowerPoint? Do they have an annex? Do they have a gymnasium? Whatever. These things, friends, are not necessary. What's necessary is what I spoke about earlier, these qualities and characteristics that come from the Word of God. Look for a church that is truly belonging to Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 16 and verse 16, Paul talked about the churches of Christ salute you. A local group of Christians belonging to Christ, of Christ, is not determined by the phone book. Of Christ is not determined by the words on the sign. Of Christ is not determined by the past history of that church. Of Christ is determined by their current attitudes and actions as they relate to the words of Christ. That's how we know if a church is really of Christ. So, ask questions, get recommendations, look around. But use the criteria that will truly lead you to a church belonging to Christ. What local church will you be in when the Lord comes? The one commended by Him or the one condemned by Him? We're glad that you've joined this morning. And if we can help you find that group of Christians, please contact us. Thank you for joining us this morning on the program, and have a good day.